Good morning. This morning's reading is from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with that person." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having been grown old? No one can enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about the heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, I have sent the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to enter the world might be saved through him."
May the Lord add blessing to the reading of the Holy Word this day. I'm going to be preaching on how to be born again this morning, and we'll be referencing many Bible verses as well as some words from a Billy Graham sermon. And we're going to end today's sermon. We'll give you an opportunity to be sure that you are born again. But first, I've asked Joyce to share something this morning.
Okay, so John asked me if I would share kind of the time that I was born again, that it all started. When he asked me, the first thing that came to my mind, and I'm sure you all, the image that you would see of Jesus. I think when we were kids, we saw a lot of Sunday school, and we were always taught that Jesus would knock on our heart's door and that we should ask him to come in. So I heard that all through childhood. I went to a little teeny country church. It reminds me, and John, very much of the chapel next door. It's maybe a hair bigger. John's dad was the pastor there. And his dad would come around every morning before church, before Sunday school, and he would pick up the neighborhood kids. And then after church, he'd drive us all home. And so I was fortunate to be able to be in church that way. So fast forward a few years, I probably started going to church when I was like 4 years old, I think. About 4 or 5 years old, he'd pick us up. And then when I was 13, we'd also have some special services at church. So he'd pick us up for youth group. I mean, for youth group, pick us up for Sunday night church. And we had these special services. They were all an evangelist named Dave Mizell was at the church, and he was very youth focused, because I remember other churches were there too. A little church, but a lot of people. And he preached a message each night, week, a salvation message. And he would invite you at the end of the service, and keep in mind, lots of youth kids in the sitting there, to come up front, kneel at the altar, and answer that. call of Jesus knocking on your heart. And he would also say, if you don't want to come up, you could raise your hand where you're at, with everything. I was 13. And probably about second night in, I felt that call from God. I knew that this is a commitment I wanted to make. At 13, I prepared myself to go up there. All I had been able to my school. And I couldn't raise my hand either because I was sure somebody was looking. So the whole week, I know, I didn't have a lot of self-esteem when I was seeing.
I'm laughing with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So fast forward, the week went by, and last night, it's over. I lost my opportunity, right? And I was sitting quiet in the front pew, waiting for my ride home. Taking us all home as soon as he was done with things. And I think Mr. Mizell had stayed at your house all week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had stayed up. And his sister Kathy, came up to me and she said, "What's going on? You don't see yourself tonight." Explained to her, I lost my opportunity. And she asked if it was okay if she went and talked to Mr. Mizell. And he came back, sat down with me, and he talked with me, and he prayed with me. And that was the moment that I accepted that be in control of my life. And the song that really comes to mind is Love of Jesus, Something Wonderful. I didn't just feel a peace. I felt a real joy. I was 13. I started telling all my friends about Jesus. My father saying, you're not going to change anybody that way. But there was just such a joy. And I just want to leave you with the words of the love of Jesus is wonderful.
Thanks. I never know what she's going to say. Okay. Well, all right. So let's get into it. We're going to go through several scriptures, and you don't have to write them all down, obviously. But if you have a pen and you want to reference these later, that would be fine. Now, of course, in today's confrontation or meeting, a man named Nicodemus came to meet Jesus by night. Now, maybe he was afraid of being criticized by his other fellow Pharisees because he was a religious leader of Israel, and this Jesus was somebody that, he was a homeless guy, right? And he was preaching this new thing, claiming to be the Messiah. So maybe he wanted to talk to Jesus alone, or maybe he wanted to understand more before he committed himself to Christ. In any event, he came and asked Jesus questions, and he did acknowledge that Jesus was from God. He said, "Teacher, no one can do the things you're doing unless they're from God." Jesus looked at him and said, "Nicodemus, you need to be born again." And when we read it this morning, it's like it's out of the blue. Jesus says this to him. "Nicodemus, you must be born again." In fact, he said, "Very truly, I tell you," or in the King James, it says, "Verily, verily, I tell you, you must be born again." And any time that Jesus used that expression as he was speaking, it meant that the next thing he was going to say was very, very important. And so he said, "Verily, verily, or very truly, I tell you, I say unto you, you must be born again." Have you been born again? Some people call it a conversion or a commitment or a repentance. Some people call it being saved. But has it happened to you? Does Christ live in your heart? Do you know for sure that he does? Many people have thought a long time about religion and Christianity, and yet they have never made a commitment. Are you committed to Jesus Christ? Nicodemus must have been stunned when Jesus said, "You must be born again." Now, it wouldn't be so shocking, right, if Jesus had said that to the woman caught in adultery, that she must be born again, or the thief on the cross, that he must be born again. But Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders of the time. But still, he was searching for reality. Now, you may go to church, but you can still be searching. There's an empty place in your heart, and something inside tells you that you're not totally right with God. Here's what we know about Pharisees, and I'm saying that because Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Pharisees, so I will just insert Nicodemus's name. Nicodemus fasted 2 days a week, nothing but water. He spent two hours a day, every day, in prayer, and he gave 10% of all that he had to the Lord. Okay. So, why did Jesus say that to Nicodemus, that he must be born again? I mean, surely, I mean, he's got everything going on, the outward things. It is because he could read the heart of Nicodemus, just as he can read your heart and mine. Jesus saw that Nicodemus had covered himself with religion, but had not yet found fellowship with God. So what is the root of our problem as sinners? What causes all our troubles in the world? Is it the lying or the cheating or prejudice or hatred or, many people today would say, social inequality or war? Jesus says to these things, no. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And these are the things that defile a man, Jesus said in Matthew 15:18. He said the problem is in our hearts and our hearts need to be changed. Now the social scientists, the psychiatrists, psychologists, sociologists, they all recognize that there is something wrong with humankind. And there are many words in Scripture that describe it. One of those is transgression. Sin is the transgression of the law. This is 1 John 3:4. But what law is the Scripture talking about? It's talking about the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. Have you ever broken one of the Ten Commandments? Anybody that hasn't, you can go home now. It's right. We all have. Have you ever broken one of the Ten Commandments? If you have, then you are guilty of breaking all of them, according to James, the brother of Jesus, James chapter 2, verse 10. I told you there's going to be a lot of Scripture in here. The word sin carries with it the idea of missing the mark, coming short of the duty, of our duty, failure to do what we ought to do. The Bible says that all unrighteousness is sin, 1 John 5:17. And yet before we can get to heaven, we must have righteousness. God says you must be perfect as I am perfect, holy as I am holy, Matthew 5:48 and 1 Peter 1:16. So we're not getting there unless we're perfect, but how are we going to get that perfection? We don't have it now, and yet we can't get to heaven if we don't have it. That is why Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood and rose again to provide righteousness for you and me that lives right inside us. Another word is iniquity, which means turning aside from the straight path. Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, said these words, in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In other words, laid on Jesus, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. The Bible says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, that would be Adam, and through death sin, thus death spread to all because all have sinned. Romans 5:12. So all of us have sinned. Every person needs a radical change. That's the bottom line. We need to have our sins forgiven. We need to be clothed in the righteousness of God. And to find fulfillment in this life, we need to find something to commit ourselves to. Are you a committed person? What are you committed to? A football team? A baseball team? There are things greater than that. Your family? There is one who is greater than that. Why don't you make Christ your cause and follow him? Because he will never let us down. He will never let you down. So this new birth that Jesus talks about, some people ask the question, what is it? Nicodemus asked the question too. He said, well, how can a man be born again when he is old? We want to understand it, just as Nicodemus wanted to understand it. That's the bat phone, I think, right there. Growing up in the same neighborhood as Joyce, I grew up half a mile down the road from Bruce Crandall's dairy farm. That's where I learned how to milk cows, how to throw hay. Boy, if you want to build your muscles, throwing those bales of hay, right? On the and other things. And I learned how to make maple syrup with the shanty shack. They had maple, and so I learned all sorts of things at Crandall's. But one thing is that when I was a young kid, I couldn't figure out how a black cow could eat green grass and produce white milk and yellow butter. I mean, you know, I didn't understand that. Now, maybe I could say, because I don't understand it, I'm never going to drink milk again. And you'd say, well, that's crazy. That's nonsense, right? But I don't understand it fully. The scientific explanation. But I accept by faith that that's what happens. Now let's make a transition. Nicodemus could only see the physical and the material, but Jesus was talking to him about the spiritual. How is the new birth accomplished? Because Nicodemus said, you mean I have to go into my mother's womb again? The scripture is clear. We cannot inherit the new birth. The Bible says that those who are born again were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but from God. John 1:13. Our mothers and fathers may be the greatest born-again Christians in the world, but that doesn't make us born-again Christians also. Many people have the idea that because they were born into a Christian home that they are automatically Christians, and they're not, not according to Scripture. What's more, we cannot work our way to God. The Bible says that salvation comes not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, and He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. This is Titus 3:5, and this is also speaking of the new birth, being born again. We can say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, and we can try it, and we can do it, and you can muster all the gumption you have and all the fortitude you have and say, I'm just going to turn over a new leaf, or I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. But Isaiah said that in the sight of God, all of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. All the good you can do is like filthy rags. Some of us have changed on the outside to conform to certain social standards or behavior that are expected of us in church. But down inside, we have never been changed. And that is what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about. He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to be changed on the inside. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. Being born from above is a supernatural act of God. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. He disturbs us because we have sinned against God. And then the Holy Spirit regenerates us. That is when we are born again. The Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts to help us in our daily lives. The Spirit of God gives us the assurance, gives us the joy, produces fruit in our lives, and teaches us the Scriptures and the understanding of the Scriptures. Because, brothers and sisters, it's hard to understand the Bible until you are born again. Some people try to imitate Christ. They think that all we have to do is try to just follow Jesus, do the things that He did, and we'll get to heaven. But we can't do it. We may know Christian music, that's good. You may know many prayers and have them memorized, but that doesn't matter either. But if we have not been to the foot of the cross, then we have not been born again. That is the message Jesus is trying to teach Nicodemus and trying to teach us. To be born again means that God will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. This is Ezekiel 36:26. I'll say it again. I'll change it just a little bit. God wants to give you a new heart and put a new spirit right inside you. This is Ezekiel 36:26. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And Peter says this in 2 Peter 1:4, he says that we, by being born again, become partakers of the divine nature. In other words, we join with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the divine nature, and we become divine on the inside. We have passed from death into life, John 5:24. The new birth brings about a change in our philosophy and our manner of living. Now here is the mystery. There is a mystery to the new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, the wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot hear where it comes from and where it goes. We read that as Rick read it this morning. But you can see the results. Jesus did not attempt to explain the new birth to Nicodemus, because it's different for everybody. And our finite minds cannot understand the infinite. We come by simple, childlike faith. That's it. And we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And when we do, we are born again. So are you sure of your salvation? This is the way that it happens. First, we have to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. That's the first step. Be listening to the Word of God. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Now, it sounds foolish that the words from a Bible have the power to penetrate your heart and my heart and to change our lives, but they do. These words are like nothing else because they are God's holy words and they are not there by mistake. Then there is the work of the Holy Spirit. He convicts us, and when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, John 16:8. So He convicts us, and then He changes us. He changes our will, He changes our affections and our loves, and He changes our objectives for living and our disposition. He gives us a new purpose and new goals. Old things pass away, and behold, everything has become new. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then He lives right inside us. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Does God the Holy Spirit live in you? Jesus said that we must be born again, but how do we do it? By repenting of sin, and that means we are willing to change our way of living. We say to God, I am a sinner and I'm sorry. It's very simple, and it's very childlike, but that's the way of salvation. Then by faith we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior on the inside. We are willing to follow Him in a new life of obedience in which the Holy Spirit helps us as we read the Bible and pray and witness and enjoy the born-again life. If there is a doubt in your mind whether you have been born again, I hope you will settle it today, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:2, today, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. How many opportunities will you waste before you experience the fullness of God living right inside of you? We're at the end of the sermon. And now is the time to make a decision for Christ, just as I have done, Joyce has done, and several of you have done. If you feel that God is talking to you, then I urge you to enter into God's peace and become born again, as Jesus said. I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye be closed at this time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If Jesus has been speaking to you, simply raise your hand, and nobody will see but me. Now, the next step is very important. For those of you who raised your hands, and even those of you who didn't or were afraid to, Joyce and I will be at the front of the church to talk with you and to pray with you and for you. If you raise your hand, if God is speaking to you, then I want you to answer God and come forward, and we will pray with you. So I will just give you a moment. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for stirring hearts. You love us. That is why you move us. Lord, in your mercy, grant us fruit today. Grant us all the blessings that heaven can afford. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.